Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Grupo Financiero Galicia First Quarter 2026 Earnings Call. This conference is being recorded, and the replay will be available at the company's website at gfgsa.com. We would like to inform you that all attendees will only be listening the conference during the presentation, and then we will start a question and answer session when further instructions will be provided. Some of the statements made during this conference call will be forward-looking statements within the meaning of the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. federal securities laws and are subject to risk and uncertainty that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed. Investors should be aware of events related to the macroeconomic scenario, the financial industry, and other factors could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in the respective forward-looking statements. Now, I will turn the conference over to Mr. Pablo Firvida, Head of Investor Relations. You may begin your conference.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Good morning. Although activity levels in February stood 2.2% below those observed in December 2025, high-frequency official indicators of March point to a constructive short-term momentum. In this regard, the manufacturing production index increased by 3.2% month-over-month on a seasonally adjusted basis, while the synthetic construction activity indicator, ISAC, rose by 4.7% month-over-month, also seasonally adjusted. In the first quarter of 2026, the primary surplus stood at 0.4% of GDP, compared to a primary surplus of 0.5% in the first quarter of 2025. The result was explained by a 22.4% year-over-year increase of revenues, whereas primary spending rose 25.9%, in both cases increasing below inflation rates. The National Consumer Price Index accumulated a 9.4% increase during the quarter. Monthly inflation rose from 1.5% in May 2025 to 3.4% in March 2026. On a year-over-year basis, inflation stood at 32.6% as of March. Following a 2025 marked by increasing volatility resulting from the electoral process, the spike in volatility has faded, with the exchange rate and interest rates showing clear signs of stabilization. As of January 1st, 2026, both the lower and the upper limits of the exchange rate band began to adjust on a monthly basis in line with the latest available monthly inflation data published by INDEC T-2. In March 2026, the exchange rate averaged 1,396 pesos per dollar, reflecting a 23.4% year-over-year depreciation. In March 2026, the average rate on peso-denominated private sector time deposits for up to 59 days stood at 27.9%, 1.6 percentage points below the March 2025 average. Private sector deposits in pesos averaged 108.3 trillion pesos in March, increasing by 4% during the quarter and 34.4% in the last 12 months. Time deposits rose 13.8% during the quarter and 41.7% in year-over-year terms. Peso-denominated transactional deposits decreased 6.4% during the first quarter, but increased 25.7% in year-over-year terms. Private sector dollar-denominated deposits amounted to $38.7 billion in March 2026, increasing 6.2% during the quarter and 30.4% in the last 12 months. Peso-denominated loans to the private sector averaged 92.2 trillion pesos in March, showing a 5.3% quarterly increase and a 51.7% year-over-year rise. private sector dollar-denominated loans amounted to $20.5 billion, recording a 12.5% quarterly growth and a 45.5% annual increase. Turning now to Grupo Galicia, net income for the first quarter amounted to 66.5 billion pesos, 66% lower than in the previous year, which represented 0.6% return on average assets and a 3.2% return on average shareholders' equity. This result was mainly due to profits from Banco Galicia for 47.7 billion pesos, from Galicia Asset Management for 34 billion pesos, from Galicia Seguros for 12.5 billion pesos, and from Galicia Securities for 1.5 billion pesos, partially offset by an 18.6 billion pesos loss from Naranja X. Banco Galicia net income improved by 162.6 billion pesos compared to the fourth quarter of 2025. Although results continue to be impacted by elevated loan loss provisions, charges declined quarter on quarter in line with improved delinquency rates. Net interest income was pressured by lower intermediation volumes. However, the financial margin continued its sequential recovery. Also, seasonal factors typical of the first quarter led to lower fee income, while expenses reflected efficiency gains from the integration process. Operating income increased 153% quarter on quarter, driven by an 11% rise in net operating income, mainly reflecting a 25% reduction in loan loss provisions, partially offset by lower net interest income amid reduced average intermediation volumes. Expenses declined 17% quarter on quarter, reflecting efficiency gains from the integration with Galicia Más, the former HSBC. Despite interest rate volatility during January and February, the financial margin improved sequentially and closed the quarter at 16.7%, while results from government bonds showed a favorable trend toward quarter end. Average interest earning assets reached 26 trillion pesos, 4% lower than in the previous quarter, primarily due to a 4% lower volume of loans in pesos and 5% in dollars, and a 6% decrease of government securities in pesos, partially offset by a 52% higher volume of government securities in dollars. In the same period, its yield decreased 260 basis points, reaching 28.9%, 36.8% in the peso portfolio, and 7.4% in the dollar portfolio. Interest-bearing liabilities decreased 5% from December 2025, amounting to 23 trillion pesos, mainly due to a 38% lower volume of other deposits in pesos and 9% in saving accounts in dollars, partially offset by a 9% higher volume of time deposits in pesos. During this period, its cost decreased 260 basis points to 11.7%. Net interest income decreased 7% when compared to the prior quarter, with interest income declined 13%, mainly driven by a 15% lower interest income from loans and other financing, while credit card income fell 28% due to seasonal lower average volumes, and income from promissory notes decreased 19%, reflecting both lower volumes and a reduced interest rate during the quarter. In addition, income from government securities declined 8%, mainly due to lower volumes and yields in the early months of the quarter. Interest expenses declined 22% quarter on quarter, mainly driven by lower deposit-related costs amid reduced interest rate and average volumes. Expenses on time deposits fell 13%, while costs associated with other deposits declined 47%. In addition, interest on repurchase agreements decreased due to lower average volumes, and interest expenses on negotiable obligations fell following the maturity of a corporate bond in February. Net fee income declined 6% quarter on quarter, mainly reflecting the seasonality typical of the first quarter, which usually records lower transaction levels than the fourth quarter. Fee income decreased 5%, primarily due to a 4% decline in credit card fees, following the seasonal spending peak of the prior quarter. Collection-related fees also fell, with collections fees down 13% amid lower transaction volumes, including a 10% decrease in utility bill collection services. Net income from financial instruments increased sharply quarter on quarter, partially driven by the sale of certain government securities. In addition, results from government securities measured at fair value improved sequentially. These effects were partially offset by weaker performance in private sector securities, reflecting lower returns during the quarter, and by a decline in results from derivative financial instruments, mainly associated with forward transactions. Results from quotation differences of foreign currency increased 10% quarter on quarter. This performance was supported by overall valuation effects, partially offset by lower income from foreign currency trading, reflecting reduced transactional activity following the unusually high retail volumes recorded in the previous quarter. Provision for loan losses declined 25% quarter on quarter, driven by a significant improvement in early delinquency indicators in the individual segment, which fell 49% compared to the previous quarter. As a result, portfolio quality closed the quarter with NPLs at 7.7%, while credit risk stood at 9.5%. Personnel expenses declined 8% quarter on quarter, mainly reflecting a reduction in average headcount. Administrative expenses also decreased sequentially, falling 18% compared to the previous quarter, driven by operating efficiencies and synergies achieved through the integration with Galicia Más. Other operating expenses declined 21% quarter on quarter, driven by 74% lower other expenses, 12% lower turnover tax expenses, 73% lower charges for other provisions, and a 30% decrease in other financial results. The quarter included an income tax recovery, mainly reflecting the recognition of a tax credit associated with the filing of the fiscal year 2025 tax return, driven by the impact of inflation adjustment. Other comprehensive income declined 86% quarter on quarter, reflecting the comparison with the prior period that recorded strong market valuation of government securities, as well as the sale of part of the portfolio during the quarter. The bank's financing to the private sector reached nearly 23 trillion pesos at the end of the quarter, down 4% in the last quarter, with peso financing decreasing 6% and dollar-denominated financing up 1%, equivalent to a 21% growth when measured in that currency. Deposits reached 24 trillion pesos, 15% lower than a quarter before, due to a 12% decrease in deposits in pesos and an 18% decline in dollar-denominated deposits, primarily due to restatement effects, as when measured in original currency, the decrease was 6%. The bank's estimated market share of loans to the private sector was 14.4%, 75 basis points lower than at the end of the previous quarter, and the market share of deposits from the private sector was 13.9%, 274 basis points lower than in the fourth quarter of 2025. The bank's liquid assets represented 95% of transactional deposits and 56.5% of total deposits, similar levels of the previous quarter. As regards asset quality, the ratio of non-performing loans to total financing ended the quarter at 7.7%, recording an 80 basis points deterioration as compared to the 6.9% of the fourth quarter of 2025, despite the improvement in early delinquency indicators in the retail segment. At the same time, the coverage with allowances reached 91.4%, down from the 97.4% recorded in the prior quarter. As of the end of March, the bank's total regulatory capital ratio reached 25.5%, increasing 30 basis points from the end of the prior quarter. In summary, during the first quarter, financial margin partially recovered, efficiency improved, and the cost of risk declined. However, loan demand did not rebound, and asset quality and the monetary loss related to inflation had a significant impact on profitability. Nonetheless, Grupo Galicia was able to keep liquidity and solvency metrics at healthy levels, and we expect a sequential improvement in profitability and asset quality during 2026. Now, Gonzalo Fernández Covaro, CFO of Grupo Galicia, will make some additional remarks. And I would like to mention that Hernán García, the CFO of Naranja X, is also here with us and will be available to answer specific questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Pablo. Good morning, everyone. As you know, the quarter started a bit challenging with interest rate volatility, policy tightening, and high inflation. But then a rate, went down in March and continued being stable so far. So looking ahead, we believe Argentina will continue with this phase of stability, a more predictable policy framework, and renewed potential for credit growth. And as normalization continues, as you know, the financial system will play a key role in the development of the country. Talking about specific quarter, about volume, the year started with low loan growth due to low demand on the commercial credit side, mainly in pesos. Was better in dollars, but peso really very soft demand, and a stricter origination policies on the consumer side that we implemented. We believe that commercial lending will pick up starting the second quarter. In fact, we have already seen some movement in this area in dollars, but also started to see some demand in pesos. And we believe this will continue. And of course, as economy improves, consumer lending will also start to grow again as we expected. Projection for loan growth for the year, we are now at between 20 and 25%. We were expecting a 25% growth at the beginning of the year. Now we've seen it a bit lower than that. In the case of deposits, we are now seeing an evolution or an increase between 15 and 20%. We were talking about 20% before at the beginning of the year. As we said in prior calls, cost of risk already had its peak in the fourth quarter of 2025, and we have started to see the credit losses charges to decrease, as you can see in the first quarter P&L, and we expect that to continue quarter after quarter, and NPL should have had the peak in the bank in the first quarter, I would say. Stability, bit reduction in the second, and then continue to go down. On the cost side, we are capturing the benefit of the restructuring in May last year after the HSBC acquisition. We expect to end the year with an 11% cost reduction year over year. As you know, we made a big restructuring in headcount and also in branches. Talking about branches, we are already at the number of branches that we had before the HSBC acquisition. We maintain our ROE guidance for 2026 in the low double digits range, I would say 10-11%, between 10 and 11. We expect to go from low to high during the year. It's true that we started a bit lower than expected in the first quarter, but mainly due to revenues. As you can see, the cost of risk and costs are coming on or better than expected. Revenues are a bit behind, mainly due to lower asset growth or loan growth and higher inflation that, as you know, has a big impact in banks' P&L. But we expect that now with loans increasing as we expected and inflation going down, we can catch up during the year to maintain the guidance. To be more explicit, in the first quarter, January and February were bad months in terms of result, but March was a very good month. We are seeing April also good, so we expect that from now on, month results to come good and be able to catch up going forward. In fact, we expect, like a ladder, quarter after quarter to improve net income for the group. So that's what I have. So now we are open to questions.
We're going to start the question and answer session for investors and analysts. If you wish to ask a question, please click on Raise Hand. If your question has already been answered, you can leave the queue by clicking on Put Hand Down. Our first question comes from Daniel Vaz with Safra.
Hi, everyone. Congrats on the results, and thanks for the opportunity of making questions. I would like to double-click on the loan growth and ROE trajectory that Pablo just mentioned. I guess you are slightly revising it downwards on loans as market inflation expectations have materially repriced, right, since the last conference call. But your ROE trajectory are kind of stable at the low double-digit levels. Let me try to look into your March and April months that you mentioned it was good months. How are you connecting this March and April to the inflation going forward, right? So we have a print today of the CPI. Maybe it would be good to hear your expectations on that print, and if the inflation couldn't hurt again your NPLs and the ROE trajectory take longer than you are foreseeing right now. Thank you.
Expectations for CPI for the year is between 28% and 29%. From today, the consensus is talking between 2.5% to 2.8% inflation for the month. When I said that the inflation also hurt, it was more talking about the inflation accounting than the NPLs. I would say the NPLs, it's more the how the salaries catch up with inflation, but with the tightening of origination policies, I wouldn't think that 200-400 basis points difference in the year inflation will make an effect in the NPLs. They can make in our revenues in the inflation accounting, but in fact we have a balance sheet covered against inflation. We have inflation-linked bonds, and we have also inflation-linked loans like mortgages, for example, that cover the whole liquid position of the bank. The point that is this has a lag. So the inflation-linked bonds reprice after 2 months. So in the first quarter, we have higher inflation than expected, but the inflation-linked bonds didn't catch that effect because there were still 2 months lag. Now in April, we are capturing February inflation, which was high, and in May, we will capture March inflation, which was higher. So that will help us going forward. That's referring to how the inflation hurt us in the first quarter. That gap or delay between the inflation-linked bonds and what you need to book in the P&L as a loss on inflation accounting. Talking about the rest of the year with the inflation that we are expecting, this 28-29%, we expect that it wouldn't hurt further because we see the trend of inflation going down month after month. And we don't see really that generate additional hits in credit losses. Let's remember that credit losses are still at a high level. We are reducing them quarter after quarter, but they are still higher than the run rate we expect and that we want to be. But that's something that it's evolves sequentially and not as fast as we want. But yes, we'll see an improvement quarter after quarter. What we are seeing more in March and April has to do with now that our assets that covered or that are linked to inflation are producing that coverage because the delay is away and because we will start to see the increase in the lending side. Also, what we have been doing as we have not, when we don't see this demand in commercial lending, what we are doing is also taking opportunities in investing in longer-term government bonds that are having good yields, inflation-linked bonds and variable rate bonds that are the last issuances were at good spreads. So that also, in the meantime, that we wait for the demand to catch up, we are also putting some accrual assets that are having good yields that not necessarily are loans.
Okay, thank you for the answer.
Our next question comes from Tito Labarta with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the call and taking my question. My question is, I guess, on the funding. Deposits are not growing, particularly in pesos. Your loan-to-deposit ratio is above 100%. How do you see the outlook for funding, particularly if loans, kind of pick up from here and your ability to fund that growth? Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, talking about deposits that we have seen a reduction. First, we have almost half of their deposits in dollars. And in the dollar side, you have the effect of the